May not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. Perhaps even if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here today. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, Lord, just to pray and ask that you would bless and use this program for your glory here today. Father, we think of the things happening in our country, certainly the things happening in Massachusetts and the Boston area today. And we just pray, Father, that you would just have your hand upon people there and that you just bring the situation there to a conclusion and that you just protect people and help the perpetrators of these crimes to be brought to justice. Lord, we just pray that you'd open the eyes of your people to the reality of the world in which we live and the need to put their faith in you as your servants, and also to those that don't know Christ, that they would open their eyes to their need to put their faith in Christ as their personal Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, as we come before you today, no doubt all of you have been following the news as I have, and these are those types of weeks where you find yourself glued to the television or glued to the radio or the internet or some combination of all three of those things. And being kind of a news junkie, I found myself the other day sitting online with the going on the internet looking at things and the radio playing at the same time, trying to keep track of things that are going on. And certainly our prayers go out to those in Boston and the survivors of the terrorist attack there at the Boston Marathon earlier this week, and certainly the situation that's ongoing there in and around Boston today. And certainly we ought to be praying for those. And when we see things like this happen, there's a couple of questions that come to mind. And just like any tragedy, and of course this was not merely a tragedy, this was absolutely a terrorist attack. And you know, you just look at the nature of the explosive devices, pressure cookers that were packed with nails and BBs and things of that nature, designed to provide the maximum amount of carnage and inflict the maximum amount of damage upon those that were in the area surrounding the blast. You know, when you see the reports of so many people killed and so many people injured, you don't realize the depth of some of the injuries. Reports of the doctors in the hospitals there around Boston talking about taking out, you know, dozens of pieces, nails, BBs, all kinds of things from people. And some of these people are going to live with that the rest of their life, you know, and it's just a terrible thing. And so the questions that come is, one of them is, where's God in something like this? And my first reaction with that sort of a question oftentimes is, well, you know, as a country, as a people, we have been more and more telling God to get lost. And then when something like this happens, some of the very people that don't want God involved in anything are some of the first ones to say, well, we need to pray. And I'm remembering back when the guy that nutcase shot up the children in that school in Connecticut. And people said, where was God? Well, I know where God was in that case. He was out on the curb because we told God to get out of the schools, you know, decades ago. And I remember back in the 60s, they said you can't have prayers in the public schools. You can't have Bible reading in the public schools. And progressively over the years, they said, oh, you can't have the Ten Commandments in the public schools. And we've told teachers that are Christians, you cannot express your faith in the public schools. Even something as seemingly unrelated as science classes. I can remember taking biology in high school, and they taught us about spontaneous generation and why we don't believe that anymore. They taught us about some other ideas of where people thought that life came from at one time or another, and why we don't believe that anymore. And even actually back in the 1970s in the Revere system here locally, they actually did mention what the Bible says about creation, and then they proceed to say why a lot of scientists reject that in favor of evolution. But now today, you can mention spontaneous generation. You can mention, some Greek mythology, and you can mention Norse mythology, and you can mention, North American Indian mythologies and all that sort of stuff. And you can mention the myth of evolution. But the one thing you're not allowed to mention is the Bible story of account of creation. And that's another way in which they are pushing any mention of God and any influence of God out of the public schools. And so that's a part of the thing that we see, God being pushed out of public. I read something this past week. They were talking about how Christians should by all means should have the freedom to talk about their faith at home or at church, but not out in public. And I'm thankful for this radio station here and the opportunity we have to talk about God, talk about our faith, and engage in conversation regarding these things. But here's another thing gets down to a little bit more. Back in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, the devil tricked Eve into disobeying God and eating the forbidden fruit. She gave the fruit to Adam, and Adam chose to disobey God. And the result, the Bible says, by one man, sin entered in the world, and sin by death. And so as a result, Adam effectively turned the reins of control of this world over to the devil. And the Bible refers to the devil as the god of this world. And even when Jesus was tempted by Satan, one of the things that Satan tempted him with was offering him the nations of the world if he would simply bow down and worship the devil. And of course, Jesus would not. And Jesus rebuked him and withstood the temptation. But here's the interesting thing with that. When Jesus rebuked him, he never said anything about the world not being the devil's to give to him. And so the devil has a certain amount of sovereignty over the world. And that's why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, let's start in verse number 10, where he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And he goes on to describe the armor of God, which I won't get into as much at this moment right here. But what I'm getting at here is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to us that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And when we see events like this terrorist attack at the Boston Marathon, this is an outgrowth, actually, of the underlying spiritual battle that we're in. It's just like if you have a sickness, let's say that you have cancer, and you start having aches and pains and the area where the cancer is, and you start being tired and you start having other problems. That's symptoms of the underlying cancer that you have. And the doctor can deal with your symptoms, give you some aspirin or Tylenol and things of that nature, but it doesn't deal with the cancer. And the problem that our country has today is we're trying to deal with the symptoms without dealing with the cancer. And there's a cancer, certainly sin is a cancer in the life of every individual that has to be dealt with and can only be dealt with by the blood of Christ. And Jesus Christ, of course, shed his blood on the cross where he suffered and died in our place and was buried and rose again victorious over sin and death. That's the solution for the sin problem we have as individuals. But as a country, and the world in general, is suffering because of sin. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And sometimes it manifests itself very strongly in incidences like this terror attack in Boston. Well, this is Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you want to give us a call, we have Fran calling in. And Fran, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon.
I'm asking about the beef up, the money more military in Russia, and our army's being kind of dismantled and stuff. So I don't know, are they planning to attack America? I've heard people say we might have a deal with Russia.
Well, Russia, of course, has been kind of an on-again, off-again, relationship with the United States. Remember, during World War II, we were allies against Nazi Germany.
Right.
And then right after that, of course, the Cold War started up. And, people lived in fear that Russia would bomb us or that we would get involved in some nuclear exchange with Russia. And then, of course, the Iron Curtain fell and the wall in Berlin came tumbling down and the Russian Empire crumbled and the Soviet Union of the 20th century disappeared and was replaced with Russia and then other nations or countries around it that broke away, such as, the Ukraine and places. The current head of Russia, Vladimir Putin, would certainly like to restore the Russian Empire. That is certainly a given. And he believes that the United States is having too much influence in his part of the world. It's kind of a hard thing for them, to actually just attack us directly. Would they get involved in something if they could? I suppose they could under the right circumstances, and certainly China under the right circumstances. But in this particular case, we know that these guys came from Russia, but they're Chechenian. They come from a province that's near Chechnya. They're Muslim. Their Facebook pages identify that. There's a great website called jihadwatch.com that has some pictures. Their Facebook pages linked to all kinds of jihadi sites and things. And I guess the older one actually went over there to that part of the world, and it looks like he spent 6 months there probably going to a terror training camp.
Right.
And if you remember, after in the days after the 9/11 attacks back in 2001, when they began beefing up security at the airports,
right,
one of the things that happened in the years following that is a lot of the jihadists were trying to recruit Chechens to come to this country because Chechens could blend in easier than some of the Middle Eastern Muslims, because let's face it, we live in a majority Caucasian country, and Chechnya, that's near the Caucasus Mountains where the Caucasian people came from. That's
right,
where we get the name. And so they blend in a little bit more. They didn't look as like an Egyptian. They didn't look like an Arabian. They didn't look like a Syrian. And there's some obvious markers that you can look at. One certainly is the Islamic religion, and also the fact that they brought these people in to be sleeper cells a lot of times,
right,
to bide their time. A lot of people don't realize, but the Chechens, when they were active during the Russian campaign in Afghanistan, and then after the Russians pulled out of Afghanistan and started cracking down on Chechnya, Chechnya wanted to break away from Russia. And they became really pretty vicious in some of their attacks against the Russians. And they actually trained Al-Qaeda, some of the early Al-Qaeda organizations. That's why when the Boston Marathon bombing took place, a lot of people looked at what took place and they said, that's got the marks of Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things that went back and forth. And the pressure cooker, for instance, there's an Al-Qaeda magazine online called Inspire. And it's Inspire. What it is to inspire jihadists in America, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, and other places to commit acts of terrorism. And they, not too awfully long ago, had an article called How to Make a Bomb in Your Kitchen with Your Mom. And basically detailed how to make a pressure cooker bomb. And pressure cooker bombs have turned up in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nepal, different places like that. And that's why there was a lot of excitement over the Saudi guy that was in the hospital, right. You know, immediately after the attack. And I believe last I heard he was being deported from the country. It appears that we had been watching him and a couple of others that they seemed to be affiliated with Al-Qaeda. And so whether or not they had any direct connection to these two guys, I'm sure somebody out there still has a connection to them. And we certainly pray that nobody else gets killed in the you know, in the aftermath of all this. But I know we've kind of drifted a little bit from the Russian question as well, but I'll go ahead. And if you got any question with that regards with that, go ahead.
No, I understand. There's a lot of connection with that. There come in many different nationalities. The, you know, Al-Qaeda, you know, they got the Russians. They got all kinds of different people that are in that with Al-Qaeda thing, you know, beside Arabic and Russians.
Oh, yeah. And of course, Russia, like the United States, encompasses a lot of different peoples. We tend to think of the Russian Russians or the Ukrainians, and that's what we think. But, you know, you get down into Chechnya and some of those areas, you're getting, actually, Chechnya is not that far away from Pakistan. So you're getting down into that area of the world.
Yeah, my grandson's fighting over there, so in Afghanistan, so yeah. I know. I'm real concerned about him.
Well, certainly pray for him. And is he in the Army? Or
National Guard.
National Guard, okay.
He's in the front lines, you know, with that.
Right, right. Well, certainly. And people that are serving over there, I mean, my time in the Air Force was during the Cold War. And, you know, I wasn't up there where people were shooting at me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my heart goes out. My prayers go out to people that are there. These people are defending us today. And we need to pray for people that are over there right now.
Right.
And if they're not saved, we sure need to pray for their salvation.
Amen.
And but I appreciate your call today.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that call. And, of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al here on AM 1220, The Word. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Just a quick reminder, we're brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 6668 Royalton Road. They're open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday noon until 5:30 p.m. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza, located at 4889 Turney Road across from the high school there in Garfield Heights. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. And we have John calling in here this afternoon. And John, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. I was wondering, do you think, in view of everything that's going on, you know, there's been a lot this week, of course. Of course, really every day there's a lot, but do you think this is just part of, you know, the being in the last days where, you know, the perilous times are upon us and, you know, or maybe it's like a time when the forces of darkness are particularly working, you know, to attack and destroy before the return of Christ, you know, so that people will go into a lost eternity, you know, so they're like, you know, step up. You know, there's wicked men do these things, but I mean, it's all part of the sin nature and a part, you know, part of the devil's plan. Because
right, that's what I said earlier.
And destroy.
Well, and I do think it is part of being in the last days, and you know, Luke chapter 21 verse 28 says that when you see these things happen, you know, or begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so we ought not to be, you know, as believers, we ought not to be overwhelmed with fear and overwhelmed with anxiety. I mean, there sure should be some concern and everything, but we realize that, yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to take place in this world, and things are going to get worse. As I said before, I feel kind of like Jeremiah. I'd like to say that things are going to get better. Jeremiah would have loved to have said that things are going to get better in Jerusalem, but he knew that they were going to fall. Jerusalem was going to fall. And we understand that the United States is not going to be a major player in the last days events during the tribulation. And certainly Ezekiel chapter 38, we're only a sideline there as one of the offspring of the merchants of Tarshish. And so we're not the major player there, and that's a latter-day event that has yet to take place. In the meanwhile, though, we certainly need to be busy as believers trying to reach as many people with the gospel as we can so that when the Lord does come for us, he'll take us into heaven with him. John, got another caller calling in. I got just about couple
thank
minutes
you,
left.
Pastor Al. I guess we should look up because our redemption.
That's exactly right, and that's why I want to remind people: if you're a believer, don't get dismayed. Don't get dismayed. It's we may see some rough times in this country before the Lord comes back, but God said that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. His Spirit is in you. The Spirit of Christ, the Bible says in Romans, is in you at the moment of salvation, and He seals you till the day of redemption, and He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. So, you know, we need to realize that and keep a little perspective on these things. All right, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that call. And we have, I believe it's Shay calling in. And welcome.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Al. My question is, and I have a really big reason why I'm asking this question, but mm-hmm. I just want you to elaborate on it because I see we're pushing against time.
Sure.
But the question is, can a saved person, a born-again Christian, commit suicide and still go to heaven?
Absolutely. They're going to have, tell God why they're there a little early. That's kind of facetious, but yeah, because your sins are forgiven. The only sin that will keep somebody out of heaven is the sin of rejecting Christ, you know, not putting your faith in Christ. John 3:18 tells us we're condemned already because we've not believed. But when you're saved, Jesus paid for every single sin that you could ever commit. And if a saved person commits suicide and they lose their salvation, then that means that Jesus did not pay for all their sins. In John chapter 10, Jesus said that that we're in His hand and no man can take us out of His hand. And so if you could lose your salvation, and He also said He gave us eternal life. If you lose your salvation by killing yourself, then your eternal life came to an end, which by definition it wasn't eternal. He also said you'll never perish, and you would perish without Christ if that were the case, and which would mean that He was wrong there too. And then it would also mean that you took yourself out of His hand. And He said that we can't. And in fact, He said that we're in the Father's hand, and He and the Father are one. Basically, what He's saying there in John chapter 10 is we would have to be greater than God to take ourselves out of God's hand. And so if we could lose our salvation by killing ourselves, we've taken ourselves out of God's hand. We're saying God wasn't big enough to forgive us of all of our sins. Hopefully that helped you a little bit there. Got just a couple moments left. You got anything to follow up with that?
No, you cleared it up.
Okay,
thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, and that was a real quick look at that. I understand. That does not excuse suicide, that's for sure. And suicide, and when we think of these guys that kill themselves up in the name of Allah, They don't look at it as suicide. They look at it as sacrificing themselves and being martyrs for the cause of Allah. And that's a big difference. And there are martyrs for the cause of Christ, people who refuse to recant their faith. But certainly pray for our country. We're about out of time here in our program. Hope you'll join us again Sunday night at 11 o'clock till midnight. Also next week at 1:30 again. And God bless. Don't be dismayed. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected